had a great story this week I want to share with you. Tremendous chos. That one of the Talmidim who living in Eretz Yisrael, Avram Chaim Rutenberg, called me out of the clear blue sky. As a Rebbe, I have an opportunity for you. Because when you were in Eretz Yisrael, when I was there 2 years ago, so I went with him. He was giving out the beef jerky to the soldiers. So I want to find it. So I went with him to this base where the commander of the base was not a frum guy, but that week Nebuch, a couple of his chevra were killed, and the commander noticed that there were a lot of mezuzahs missing. So Avram Chaim, who had been coming, so he asked the Rav on the base. Now you can't imagine the Rav on the base. You know, the Rav, you picture a Rav, you know, a 60-year-old Rav on the base. The Rav is a yeshiva guy. He's a 22-year-old yeshiva bacher. Just got married, a little kid at home. And he was the Rav on the base. So the commander went to the Rav and he said, could you get mezuzahs? There's mezuzahs missing. So the Rav went to Avram Chaim. He said, if I order the mezuzahs through the army, it could take 6 months to get mezuzahs. I don't know how long it's going to take. So he asked Avram Chaim, maybe you could arrange, you could get some mezuzahs. So Avram Chaim had some balabatim coming from Toronto. Anyway, he called them up. They went to the Sfarim store in Toronto. They bought mezuzahs. They came. The next day, we were there hanging up the mezuzahs. So anyway, when I was leaving, so this Rav kid says to Avram Chaim, he says, you know, the soldiers are coming to me and they're asking if they could have Sfarim. So I said to I would like to give them the Sfarim. So I said, what are they looking for? What do they need? He said, they like the pocket, either Mesilas Yesharim's or the pocket Pirkei Avos, that they could put in their knapsack so that when they're in the middle, when they're on a break, they could take them out and they could learn the small ones. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I'll go back to Muncie and I'll raise $10,000 and we'll buy Sfarim. So I asked the Rav, how much do you need? So he's all embarrassed to tell me, like he figures, didn't want to say, he was so embarrassed. I said, no, tell me, how much do you need? I was determined that I'm going to get that money for this guy. You have guys going out into putting themselves in Sakana. Well, what do they want? They want a Pirkei Avos. So he says, 400 shekel. 400 shekel. $100. So I reached into my pocket. I pulled out $100. I was able to be a big gevir, and I gave him the $100. The guy was like, he was so happy. He was mamish. He didn't know, this kid didn't know what to do for me. Anyway, so Avram Chaim was back there last week. And not the same Rav, but I imagine the same Vart. He asked him, he says, the Olam wants a Shulchan Aruch, a Tur Shulchan Aruch, for the shul's base. Now the shul on the base is, I don't know, maybe 15 by 15. It's a little trailer, tiny little place. And they want a Shulchan Aruch. So Avram Chaim called me, figuring that he saw my reaction last time, how I wanted this chos. So he said, Rebbe, you probably want it. So I said, Avad, I want that chos. Of course, what's the shayla? They wanted a tour Shulchan Aruch and a timer devar. So I said, done. I'll take care of it. So first of all, I just want to tell you, what is this unit? So this Avram Chaim sent me off of Wikipedia. Very little is known about this unit. Only that the force performs top secret operations behind enemy lines deep within the hostile territory. The IDF keeps Maglan's designated missions a secret and gives no information about it or the operations in which the unit takes part. The secretive unit has clocked countless hours of high-risk operations conducted well behind enemy lines, most of which have never been declassified. So that's who you're talking about. That's the chevra that are, you're talking about the toughest of the toughest people. So anyway, the Rav sends back Avram Chaim after he got it. Chaim Ayakar, my dear Chaim, and he writes to Lahoydes Lecha, B'shmi u'v'shem kol ha'chayalim, ha'datiyim, b'yichidit Maglan, I want to thank you all. I want to thank you on behalf of the Frum soldiers in this unit. Ala truma hanadiva, harbe zchuyos yatzu lecha b'shamayim me'atruma hazois. On this great gift, and you're going to have tremendous chusim for this gift. Chayalim tzmeim l'shulchan aruch. That's how he signed off. The soldiers are thirsty for the Shulchan Aruch. The soldiers are thirsty for the Shulchan Aruch. Unbelievable. That's these guys who are, what they're doing is so dangerous, and they can't even, the government never even admits that they're doing it. These guys, what do they want? They want a Shulchan Aruch. What a people we're part of. That's what I want to talk about today. Yaakov Avinu, it's Vayivka Bamokin. So, the Gemara tells us, Ain't Pegiya La Tefillah. We find different Lashonis of Tefillah, right? Yitzchak went Lasuach Basada, the Gemara says. It's also Tefillah. Lasuach Basada is a Lashon of Tefillah. Pegiya is a Lashon of Tefillah. But each Lashon is a different Lashon. And it's interesting, Pigua in Ivrit is a terrorist attack. A Pigua. That means it's not Stam, just another meeting. Vayivka b'mokim. So remember, Rashi tells us that all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, it got dark. That's a pigua. Something, it's an earth-shattering moment. Something changed. Rashiva always is medayik, and he said that Rabbi Yankov pointed this out. This is something that's such a musa for us as Yeshiva Bachrim, that Yaakov Avinu was preparing his whole life for one mahalach. He was prepared. He was the Ishtar Miyoshev HaHalim. He thought, I'm going to be Rosh Hashiva. His father's Yitzchak Avinu. His grandfather's Avram Avinu. He was Mamisha. He was a Kotler. He was a Soloveitchik. Living in either Lakewood or living in Meir Sha'arim. What did he know? This was his Mamish. He grew up at the feet of Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu. And he's sitting and learning. Yeah, he had to deal with his brother Esav. That's true. But bottom line is, he was the Ishtam Yeshev HaHalim. Now he's, all of a sudden, he finds out, literally from 1 minute to the next, that his life is totally changing. Totally changing. He's going from Ishtam Yeshev HaHalim, now he's going to work. Where? By Lavan Arami. The most challenging situation, and that's what he tells Rachel. He's ready. Rachel tells him, you think this is going to be so easy handling with my father? My father's a shtickmensch. And Yaakov Avinu says, don't worry, I could also be a shtickmensch. The Ishtam Yeshev HaHalim says, I'll outshtick the shtickmensch. How does a person change on a dime? That's my question that I want to deal with. Yaakov Avinu is going in one direction, Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva, Rosh Hashiva. All of a sudden, boom, totally different mahalach in life. He's going to outschwindle the biggest schwindler of all time. Didn't work out that way 100%. Went back and forth. Love him, gave him a hard time. But he's ready for Love and Aram. How do you get there? I think the answer is, Rabbi, say, hey, that a person, we have a tendency to take an identity from what we do. Or even from our nature. Like, I'm this type of guy. Let's say a person gets a job. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. Or I'm a Rosh Hashiva. I'm a Rav. Whatever it is that you are, you identify yourself as that kind of person. That's who I am. And that locks you in to certain decisions that you make in life. Because this is the type of person I am. I'm a quiet person. I'm an outgoing person. And then you sort of cut yourself into pieces and you lose opportunities that meet you in life, and then all of a sudden you say, I'm not that type of guy, I can't do it. Yaakov Avinu was a different type of person. Yaakov Avinu was an Eved Hashem. Yes, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, what are you? I'm an Eved Hashem. That's a totally different identity. Because what is an Eved Hashem? Eved doesn't mean a slave. It also means a slave. But Eved really means a servant. You could technically call Marco Rubio, he's the Secretary of State, he's a servant of the United States government. He's a chashev servant of the United States. This is the president. He's the most chashev servant of the United States government. The vice president. Those are titles that represent what the person is. Yaakov Avinu, if you'd ask him, what are you? I'm an Eved Hashem. That's what I am. When a person identifies themselves as an Eved Hashem, he has a totally different way of meeting the challenges of life. Because it's not about, am I quiet? Am I loud? What type of person am I? I'm one of the chevra. Anytime a challenge comes to an Eved Hashem, the Eved Hashem says, what does Hashem expect from me in this moment? That's who I am. I don't know who I am. I know one thing about myself. I am an Eved Hashem. And when I'm in 10th grade or 11th grade or 12th grade, I'm going to have one type of challenge. When I'm in Beis Medrash, Kail, go out into the world, whatever it is, I'm going to have different types of challenges. And the challenge doesn't make a difference because I'm only going to ask myself one question. What does Hashem want from me in this second? For 67 years, Yaakov Avinu thought he was one. He had one job. Okay, now he realizes he has another job. No big deal. It's not impossible for such a person. Where another person would be totally broken, Avraham Avinu is ready for the next challenge. Why? Because that's who I am. I'll never forget. I'll finish with this story. My Zayda, Zatzal, he donated the cornerstone of the yeshiva. I'll never forget. I've said this story a couple times. He came to me right at the beginning of yeshiva. This is we were in the trailers, so this was either I think it was year two of the Masifta. He says he went to, and my grandfather had a lot of different careers. He was a businessman, and then he was always doing a lot of things. Started yeshivas, started mikvahs, he did a lot of different things. He was one of these people that Taka was. His name was Yaakov. Taka personified this midah of Yaakov Avinu. Anyway, he's way retired already. Baruch Hashem, he had money. And he and my grandmother, they went up to Kingston for an art show. There was an art show in Kingston, New York. Anyway, so Dr. Don is from Kingston. And he met the Frankel family. They had just moved, not long before, they had moved from Minsk. They came from Russia, they were immigrants. And they had a young son, he was 12 years old at the time. They met them there. They started schmoozing. Got very close to them. Anyway, my grandfather comes back to Muncie. He tells me, "Been seeing? I met a family from Minsk, and they have a little kid, and I want him to go to yeshiva. They have one kid. They're sending him from Kingston, New York." I said, "Zaidi, this kid doesn't. Who doesn't know how to read? Who's paying for his tuition? Where's he going to sleep? We didn't even have a dormitory." I say, "What?" It's not shaykh. You're never going to convince them. He said, "I hear. Good taina." Anyway, not long later, he comes back to me. I have it all figured out. I said, "Okay, let me hear." I did not believe for one second that he would be able to convince these people. He says, "Okay, so where's he going to sleep? Where's he going to, you said sleep, tuition, and how's he going to keep up? So first of all, I'm going to come to yeshiva every day, and I'm going to teach him how to read. I'm going to teach him aleph beis. That's me. I'm going to do that." Okay, that's taken care of. Next, who's going to pay for his tuition? I'll pay for his tuition. No problem. It's on me. I'm going to pay for it. Third thing, where's he going to sleep? He's going to sleep by you. He's going to move into your house. So I was like, okay, Zaidi, if you convince the Frankels, and you're willing to pay the tuition, if you convince them to send him to yeshiva, I'm asking. I was masking because I didn't have a havamina that he'd be able to convince them. He convinced them. Right after his bar mitzvah, came to yeshiva, became partners with David Welt and Araye Mazeh. They own the sushi in Wesley Kosher. They're together, they're partners in that business. He has other businesses together with David, who lives in Florida. Came to yeshiva for the whole year. He lived in my house. So what is a man? He's already 80 years old. He decides he's going to be an Aleph Beis Rebbe. Never was an Aleph Beis Rebbe in his life. He's an Aleph Beis Rebbe. What do you mean he's an Aleph Beis Rebbe? He realized the Rebbeinu Shalom, he's a nothing. He's an Eved Hashem. So the Rebbeinu Shalom needs me to be an Aleph Beis Rebbe now. I'm an Aleph Beis Rebbe. That's what I am. Until now, I was a businessman, and I was a this, and I was a that, and I was a gevir, and it. Okay. So now Hashem wants me to be an Aleph Beis Rebbe. So I'm an Aleph Beis Rebbe. That's what Hashem is asking for me right now in this moment. And that's it. If we, in the little things in life, if we practice them, then we'll be ready for the big things. The little things are, if every people are being bevaza somebody in class, and you say, stop it. That's a little thing. Everybody, you're in shul, and everybody's talking during Kaddish, and you go right in the middle, and you start saying, Amen Yeshmei Rabbah out loud. I'm saying, don't scream at them. Just go right into the middle and start saying, Amen Yeshmei Rabbah out loud. See if that works. If you prepared in every moment for the little things, inevitably there are going to be situations in your life where you're going to have to say, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you're going to change. I don't know if it's Hashem's going to ask you to be when you're 80 to be an Aleph Beis Rebbe. But it's going to be something. And if you prepare on the little things, then when the big things come, you'll be like Yaakov Avinu. You'll say, Hineni, I'm ready to go. Have a great week.